This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. Today, the 5th annual Fertile Ground Festival of New Works, Portland's 10-day arts festival. This year, the festival includes more than 90, perhaps 100 new works. It just keeps growing and growing with more than 100 artists throughout Portland. I'll be talking with Nicole Lane, Festival Director of Fertile Ground. With her will be two artists representing new work, Polaris Dance Theater's Robert Gitron and Richard Moore of Rain, the musical. Plus, we'll give away a pass to the festival. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We just heard a song from Pink Martini. With me are Nicole Lane, Festival Director of the Fertile Ground Festival New Works. Welcome back.
Why, thank you for having me, Dee Mae.
And Robert Gitron, Artistic Director of Polaris Dance Theater. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And singer and composer Richard Moore of Rain the Musical at David Polshock Productions. Welcome.
Nice to be here.
Welcome all to Stage and Studios. I'm glad to have you here. Now, the Fertile Ground Festival features how many new works, Nicole? Because it just kept growing and growing each time I talked to you.
Well, it's really hard to nail down an exact number because what we like to call them is acts of creation. And there are 87 acts of creation at this time. However, within each of those acts could be additional artistic contributions.
Like PDX playwrights might be presenting several plays.
I've actually counted all the PDX playwrights. However, like for example, at Milepost 5, they added a visual artist exhibit.
Right.
And that's so that 87 isn't counting all of those artists.
Exactly.
I just counted that as one.
So Fertile Ground gives new works this festival, but within that festival might be little mini festivals.
Yeah, well, there's a lot there. It's basically mini festivals of artists' work.
Exactly.
In all different genres. And for example, there may be one piece of dance, but there's two choreographers who have created it. So there's, I mean, honestly, literally thousands.
It'd be hard to count, wouldn't it?
There are thousands of artists who are working on
Fertile Ground. That's amazing. And it just shows the wealth of artistic talent in
Truly.
This community, doesn't it? The Fertile Ground runs through January 24th through February 3rd. Now, is it bigger this year?
It's not bigger. Everything, it's just different. I mean, mm-hmm. every year, that's one of the fun things about August for me as I watch what comes in, because this is an uncurated festival. It's unjuried, which is very unusual.
Well, I think that's what makes it unusual is it's open curation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can basically apply and do it.
Yeah,
right?
The only parameter is that it's Portland-generated work and that it's new work.
And you meet the deadline to get to, for your calendar, right?
Even then, it's a little squishy.
That must be an amazing task to orchestrate.
It's really, I feel very fortunate to be able to interact with so many artists and amazing producers, new and seasoned,
frankly. I mean, but it's presented by the Portland Area Theater Alliance, so I hope that you get lots of help.
Oh, yes. I mean, Fertile Ground is a program of the Portland Area Theater Alliance. It was founded in theater, and then it has just grown beyond that. And I do have a committee and a number of people really working hard to help put this festival out there.
Oh, you have to. I don't see how one person could do this. So you have dance, visual art, you have theater, you have readings, you have musicals. What else? Am I leaving anything else?
I think you're getting it all.
So
but
anything that's
all
performing
of those.
Arts plus a little bit of visual art, too.
Yeah, it's multidisciplinary because then every even a theater production has many different artists working on it.
Oh, of course. So, yeah. Lots of collaborators, huh? Well, to get an idea of how many different types of performances we're talking about, would you give us, you know, some of the, you know, some highlights that you want to present? We'll be talking with Richard and Robert soon, but, you know, who, you want to highlight some people?
Well, you know, some of the really interesting things that are different this year is the number of groups that I've put together, a group of offerings. So Milepost 5, for example, Claire Willett put together a whole vast offering. Like, I believe there's seven theater type productions and reading or staged reading or workshop, including hers, the Witch of the Iron Wood, which is an opera workshop. And then there's also, she put together the artist group. So there'll be art showing out there.
And
so,
when is that happening?
That's throughout the festival. Throughout the festival. And always go look at fertilegroundpdx.org. That's where everything is up to date.
Well, I actually want to encourage listeners to do that right now, because then you can kind of look at, you can look through the calendar, just click on that and see what we're talking about.
Exactly. You can look at a calendar, which is more chronological, and then you can go to the events page, and that's more discipline-oriented. But there's Milepost 5. PDX Playwrights put together, like, I think there's 18 offerings from PDX Playwrights, and within each of those offerings, there are multiple offerings. So it's just, for those of you who are interested in how play is created, it's really an amazing opportunity for you to be able to see what it takes to get a play up. Fuse Theater Ensemble, they put together, they have three world premieres, all running at Theater. And that's a remarkable thing for a small theater company to do, three world premieres. So I think that's something to check out. So those are, and then there's the weird thing that everyone's talking about, that Artist Rep and Third Rail have both put up a premiere by Sue Mock. Mm-hmm. Artist Rep is The Lost Boy, and Third Rail is A Noble Failure. And I think, are you?
Talking with Sue next week. But yeah, it's pretty unusual for a playwright to get.
It's huge.
We'll talking about rain later on with Richard. But when it rains, it does pour. Yeah. You know, you can have drought for a number of years, and then all of a sudden. Heavy rain.
Well, it was pretty amazing for Sue, because that's a lot of work on a playwright's
behalf.
It
really was.
And I know, I think we sat here last year and talked to her about
one of the plays,
about
Noble
Lost
Failure.
Boy. Well, actually, I think we
talked about Lost Boy too.
She was doing with
right.
that. So, yeah, it's interesting how things come full circle.
I love it. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, talking with Nicole Lane, Festival Director of Fertile Ground Festival of New Works, presented by the Portland Area Theater Alliance. The festival runs January 24th through February 3rd. And you can find out more at fertilegroundpdx.org or go to stageandstudio.org. Now, some of the other shows you might want to highlight, a couple others you want to...
There's so many.
I know, we could go on forever.
To be honest, I haven't even planned out my festival yet. I don't know how I'm going to do it.
How you're going to actually really see all of these. Yeah.
I don't
what
know.
Are you, yeah, what's on your wish list there?
Well, part of it is that a lot of these shows are running before and after the festival, so I'm having the opportunity to see a few. Like, for example, I'm going to see The Huntsman at Portland Playhouse on Friday, which is really terrific because I can see it before the festival begins, kind of knock it out and learn more about that show. So I'm seeing that on Friday. I'm also really interested that Portland Experimental Theater Ensemble is doing a show called R3, which is a radical reimagining of Richard III. And I'm really excited about what they're doing with that. I'm also interested in Bruce Hostetler has been working on this idea for some time, but he has created this play called Feral, and it's about homelessness in Portland. And he's collaborated with a number of organizations to create a really vivid story.
And he did a lot of interviews, I think 60 interviews with homeless people or people unhoused community.
Right. Yeah. And so I think that's going to be a really exciting show. So there's just so much. And Coho, there's a lot going on at Coho too. Coho is producing International Falls, which is supposed to be just a really wonderful show. And then they have their New by Northwest playwriting competition features. One is a student writer, and the other one is an adult writer. And they like to showcase those. I think this is the third or fourth year they've done that at Fertile Ground. So that's exciting. There are so many.
Well, you can go to fertilegroundpdx.org or stageandstudio.org to find that link. I want to get Richard in here. He's the composer of Richard Moore, composer of the new musical play titled Rain. And although lately you could call it sort of like almost snow, right? Because,
we're toying with that idea.
But Rain, it's about what it's like to live in Portland, right? It's about a Portlander's, the whole idea of, what a Portlander is.
Well, it's very Portland-centric, but the story is based upon the premise of what happens to Portland when the rains go away.
Oh, we would not know what to do.
Well, it goes a little crazy. The city goes a little odd. It explains the poster in the dry, riverbed there in the foreground.
Yeah, that would be scary.
But, that came out of my constantly living here, constantly being amazed at how people talked about the weather, and basically complained about the
rain. Well, don't you get kind of tired of that?
Exactly. So I had to write a musical in response.
It's the Northwest, okay?
Yeah,
It's raining.
Well, it's green. You know, you go to Tucson and it doesn't look this
Yeah, you
way.
Don't complain about, the rain because you don't have anything there.
So that's kind of, for me, that's part of where it came from. And just, you know, as a songwriter, I love this city. It's got all kinds of things to write songs about. And the music's very Portland-centric and the story is too.
And you're co-writing the musical with Monty Merrick. I wanted to mention that. Yeah. And it's being produced as a stage reading directed by Luann Moldovan and produced by David Polshock Productions, and he's directing. Luann is directing. That's right. So you told us a little bit about the story, but it's about a rocker, isn't it?
It's about a one-hit wonder rock star who returns to town to woo back his jilted lover and he finds out that the rains have gone away, and he has a problem with the weather because he grew up here. And so Portland isn't Portland without the rain. And I give you a little example musically.
Yeah, I'd love to hear something. You brought your guitar, so this is Richard Moore performing from Rain.
Well, the show opens with, of course, an ensemble tune that, in my mind, takes place on Pioneer Courthouse Square with the citizenry singing, "We used to be the city of roses. Now we're the city that works." So there's some tongue-in-cheek, political commentary in there.
Well, some people work, right?
The title kind of says it all, yeah. But you have your obviously you have your bucket drummer who's on the corner playing his buckets, kind of a groove like that. And our protagonist shows up with his guitar case and immediately gets sideways with the people because he's saying, "Where's the rain?" And they go, "Hey, who are you?" And he responds like this: "Look, I don't claim to be well-versed in meteorology, but any fool can see all that sunshine just isn't right. No, I'm a typical guy. I like girls in shorts, REI, and outdoor sports. But how can you support this endless run of cloudless skies? I'm talking about the weather. Some things got to go together. Let me show you what I mean. Can you imagine Davis Wright without Tremaine? Would you send out Lewis without Clark? No, that's insane. I don't know how long you're gonna last if you don't do something and do it fast. 'Cause what's the point of Portland without the rain?" He does a couple of more verses of that.
I love that. Thank you so much. What is the purpose of Portland without the rain?
Well, that's the musical question. So, as a hero, he needs to stir it up. That's what you do in a story, right? The hero comes to stir things up. And he's as good as if he's from out of town, right?
Oh, most definitely, most definitely.
And he comes up with a scheme, which is also Nicole and I were talking in the lobby about the formula for writing, a story and a musical. And, he has this scheme where he needs to put on an event, and this will bring the rain back. This is his big scheme. So he has to, it's a concert, and in order to do this, he has to get the sanction of the city council and the mayor. So he goes up in front of the Portland, people and plead his case. And they go, "What's your justification for this event? If we're going to give you a permit, you have to have a good reason for it." And this is his response: "I wasn't sure when I left here the last time I'd ever return. The road out ahead was all I needed. Let the bridges burn. Now, it was wild for a while on the highway, always leaving town. But like stones in my pack, something beckoned me back. That sound. When it rains, I hear music in the trees, sad refrains of a million melodies. And if nothing else is true, no matter what you do, the consequence of time remains the same. If it does, it doesn't matter when it rains." So that goes on, and the city council gives him a permit after he sings that.
Well, of course, that we all need musical representation at city council meetings. Richard Moore, thank you so much. David Polshock Productions presents Rain the Musical with music and lyrics by Richard Moore and libretto by Monty Merrick. Performances are February 1st and 2nd at 8 p.m. and February 3rd at 3 p.m. at the Arena Stage at Theater Theater.
No!
Oh, it's
we
not?
Moved it.
Oh, where did you move it to?
Interstate Firehouse.
Oh, it's at the IFCC.
It's the IFCC.
All right. Well,
yes.
And that's at 5340 North Interstate.
There you go. She knows the address.
And for more info, for tickets, or you know, to get a 10-day pass, visit fertilegroundpdx.org or stageandstudio.org.
And, or if I may interrupt,
yes, go right
rainthemusical.com. We've got our own website, so. Yeah.
So go there, too.
Go there,
You're
too.
Listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dima Roberts. We're talking about Fertile Ground Festival of New Works. I want to bring in Robert G. Tron here, Artistic Director of Polaris Dance Theater. Now, Robert, Polaris Dance is known for its powerful contemporary dance productions. As part of Fertile Ground, you're going to be doing Groovin' Greenhouse, which will be an incubator for new work with several dance companies. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're really excited about showcasing and providing an opportunity for a lot of the local up-and-coming and established choreographers and dance makers to have a platform to explore their work. And the cool thing that Fertile Ground provides for all these artists is that all artists and all arts need a platform to kind of get their work, their ideas, to kind of out of their brains and out of their bodies and up on the stage and actually work through that process. And for all the disciplines and mediums, this is a great opportunity for them to take that step. And at the same time, it's a huge opportunity for the Portland community to see what's in their backyard. And it constantly blows me away. Richard and I were talking outside in the lobby before we came in here, and I was telling him that we send out a lot of invitations for people to participate in this. And people in just a dance world alone, you know, I ask people, you know, list five, if you can, 10 dance groups or dance makers. And very few people, even from the dance community, can name more than 10. We send out almost 170 invitations to different dance makers and dance organizations to participate. In Portland. People don't know about the amazing richness that is here in Portland. Portland has the hugest flamingo and tango community that rivals New York City. And it's not just, you know, the big five that, you know, we think of as, you know, arts organizations in Portland. We have American Indian, East Indian, African, all these different dance forms, Highland dance, as well as you might consider tap and jazz and ballet as the staples, but it's just diverse. And what I'm constantly finding is that this rich petri dish has created and birthed new choreographers and new makers. For an example, some of the people that we will be presenting at the Groovin' Greenhouse, Sub Rosa is a new and upcoming dance company. They are former dancers of Polaris Dance Theater, and they're doing really interesting work. Some other artists, Jocelyn Edelstein and Sydney Scove. Actually, Sydney is a former Jefferson Dancers alumni like myself. And they both dance with Polaris Dance Theater. Now they're showing some new work.
You went to Jefferson and you were a Jefferson dancer?
Yeah, Jefferson dancer,
wow.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, people forget
about
it.
It's rare to have so many Portlanders here on my show, to tell you the truth.
I think people forget not only how many artists.
Longtime Portlanders.
How many artists move here to be a part of this energy and this scene, but how many artists Portland produces. And the Jefferson Dance Program is a great example of that.
It's an amazing program.
Yeah. We were at the anniversary party, and I think Steve had in the program, there's like over 900 dancers that have gone through the Jefferson Dance Program that are working all over the world that are still in the field from that program. But anyway, the Groovin' Greenhouse just wants to showcase it's kind of like the dance hub of the Fertile Ground of all this creative work that's going on. Another thing that I'm really excited about is there's a dance group, husband and wife team, that's called Wobbly Dance. And Yulia and Eric Ferguson will be showing work at this. And what I think what's really important about their work and about what Polaris is passionate about is, in dance, we've created this ideology that you have to be a certain body type, you have to have a certain physique to be an artist, you know, to be worthy enough to be up on the stage. And I think they really mix that notion up by using their their bodies, their altered ability couples, and they use their bodies to really kind of integrate into the community and into our society the notion that everyone's valid, everyone has something important to say and to do, and I think by doing it through art, you can really make a more powerful statement or difference than if we were trying to go through legislation and get a new ramp here or bigger size bathroom. It's like, no, these, you know, there's our community is so diverse and so different. And so it's just about celebrating the
diversity. So how many groups did you eventually choose then for Groovin' Greenhouse?
Well, right now, I believe there's 8 or 9. I think there's 9 groups.
Quite a few.
Yeah. And so our performance is January 31st through February 2nd. And if you came all 3 days, you would never see the same thing twice.
Oh, because there's different groups performing.
It's all different groups performing.
So that's January 31st, February 2nd at Polaris Dance Theater, 1501 Southwest Taylor. And for ticket info, you can visit polarisdance.org or stageandstudio.org or fertilegroundpdx.org. So that's an amazing offering there. But at the same time, artistic director, Robert Dutron, you're also doing something that's not part of the festival, but it's I just wanted to give a shout out for Snowman and the Red Thread, and that's with Michael Allen Harrison, the composer.
It's kind of on the same line that I'm really passionate about, augmenting the meaning and the purpose of dance in our lives today. It wasn't that long ago that everybody in the village danced. We danced together. It wasn't about how old you were or how good you looked in the costume. It was about everybody celebrating and having a voice together as a community. And the work that Michael Allen Harrison and I are putting together, Snowman and the Red Thread, is about a little child who's kind of small and frail and has these preconceptions about herself and goes into this magical land and experiences other lands and other people that maybe they can't see or they can't use their legs. And she realizes that it doesn't matter what their abilities are or aren't. Everybody is powerful and amazing what they can achieve and what they can do with what they've got. And they walk away from this magical journey realizing that they've got everything they need. And they had it all along.
Well, you have 46 young people in this production. And with the popularity of fairy tales right now, I think that, you know, that kind of fits in with what a lot of young people are interested in at the same time as adults, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it is, but we're sort of in a fairy tale mood right now. You know, we want things to work out well and dreams come true and happy endings,
I think that's what art does. Art kind of takes us out of our reality and it shows us something from a different perspective. And then when we sit back and look at it, we go, oh, my God, that is really me. I mean, it's not real, but it really is me and it applies to my life.
Well, now that's not part of Fertile Ground, but if you're interested, it's performances for Snowman and the Red Thread are January 24th, 25th, and 26th at 7:30 p.m. at Lincoln Hall at Portland State University, and that's 1620 Southwest Park Avenue. For ticket info, reservations again, Portland Dance. Oh, polarisdance.org. So great. You're kind of busy right now, Robert, but
we are.
Kudos to you for two different things going on, and we're excited about Groovin' Greenhouse, too. You've done this before,
yeah,
right?
This is our third year being a part of Fertile Ground, and we're excited to continue on that journey and spread the word about the amazing things that are happening in the art scene in Portland. So you can get tickets for Fertile Ground or for the Snowman at our website. You can also buy passes if you go to the Fertile Ground website and get passes to
see
all of this.
We're actually going to be giving away one pretty soon, so keep tuning in, folks. So, Nicole, in the remaining moments, you know, a couple more productions you want to highlight? That there's always somebody you leave out, right?
Well,
in this case, there's a ton of people.
There would be 75 that I left out. There are just some really remarkable shows, and I spoke mostly of the shows that are starting off the festival, but one of the big shows that's the second weekend of the festival is hand-to-mouth theaters, Something's Got a Hold of My Heart. They're fresh back from doing a workshop of that in New York City and are bringing more to that work. And that's something that has been done as a workshop in the past. So I'm excited to see what they've done with that. And they're just such an exciting group with a national presence. Playwright, an organization that I love that goes into schools and helps teach kids how to tell stories through playwriting. They're doing a wonderful reading on February 2nd at 3 o'clock. So there's, and that's one other thing about the festival is it's all times of day, especially the weekends. And like Robert just mentioned, there is a festival pass. Festival passes are a great bargain. And another thing that one could do is just go see, just pick shows and go see them. Pay for their, everything ranges from about $10 to about $35. So these are not expensive shows. Just go pick a few and then make a little donation to Fertile Ground, and we would appreciate it.
Well, and we can't mention prices here, but it really is a good bargain. You know, it really is a good bargain for the pass itself. So people need to check that out at fertilegroundpdx.org. And a couple other shout-outs. Augie Garrett, who I've had before with Teenage Commando and Sexy Nerd, has a new production called Awkrad, which is a misspelling of awkward, and he's working with preteen and teen actors to perform their stories, and that's happening January 25th, 26th, and February 1st and 2nd at 6:30 p.m. and February 3rd at 3 p.m. We also mentioned PDX Playwrights. One of the readings includes Sandra DeHellen's The Godmother. It's about a young butch lesbian assuming the responsibility of her crime family, thus becoming the godmother, starring Anya Pearson, and it's directed by Patrick Callahan, and that's on January 27th at 8 p.m. at Hip Bone Studio, located at 1847 East Burnside in Portland. Playwright Hyun Ho Tion offers Night Breezes and the Ballerina, his play that explores memory through dialogue and movement. It's also at Hip Bone Studio. That date is February 3rd at 6 p.m. And Pulp Diction. Matt Haynes's Pulp Diction has a couple of offerings of stage readings at the Brody Theater, located at 16 Northwest Broadway in Portland. And shows are January 26th through February 2nd at various times. And you can check that all out at fertilegroundpdx.org. In the time remaining, any best picks from you two, Robert,
you
Richard?
Know, I was just going to point out that Nicole has put together this Fertile Ground
It really
guide.
Is, and you should just Whoa. Really just
where do you
grab
get this?
The catalog. Where do you get it?
You can get the Fertile Ground Festival Guide. Yeah. It's the digital version is online, or you can pick one up at any major producing organization. Artist Rep, Portland Center Stage.
You can just walk around town with this thing,
PCPA.
Right?
Well, the Fertile Ground Festival of New Works, presented by the Portland Area Theater Alliance, January 24th to February 3rd. You can find out more about all the plays at fertilegroundpdx.org or stageandstudio.org. Now, we have one festival pass. It's a really good value, folks. One festival pass to all the Fertile Ground Festival. We will offer this to the third caller. Don't call yet. Here's the number, 503-231-5106, 231-5106, and we have one Fertile Ground Festival pass. So lucky you, whoever gets it. Nicole Lane, Robert Dietron, Richard Moore, so good to have you all here.
Thank you
yes, so much for your support.
And, you know, have happy, happy openings and have a great festival, Nicole. You did a tremendous job putting all of this together.
Yes, oh, well, thank you.
And all the madness, I wouldn't want it, you know. And I'm so glad. We're lucky to have you to be able to spearhead this and get this going.
And Portland is lucky to have you, D-May, for doing Stage and Studio. We're talking about all
We're all lucky, lucky, lucky. Well, that's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to our engineer, Janet Anderson. If you missed any of the interview, visit stageandstudio.org. I'll be posting the link later on. Join the Stage and Studio Facebook page and like us. And you can also subscribe to the podcast at iTunes simply by searching for Stage and Studio. And, you know, you can also tweet me. You can tweet me anytime at Stage, the letter, and Studio. Till next time, I'm D-May Roberts.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud media sponsor of the Q Center Winter Gala, Fire and Ice. Fire and Ice will be held at Castaway Portland, 1900 Northwest 18th Avenue, on Saturday, January 26th. The VIP party begins at 6 p.m. and general admission is at 7. Entertainment includes a performance by two-time Grammy Award winner Matt Albert and much more. Information about the Q Center Winter Gala can be found at kboo.fm/2013fireandice.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell him apart at all.
Good morning. My name is Ava Lake, and this is Our Focus. I haven't been here for about a month. I think the last time I was here was I interviewed Glenn Clevenger. That was fun. And, you know, a couple of things. It's been so nice to have with Our Focus, Joseph Gallivan. So he's been helping me out by being a guest host. I know that he talked with Chris Rauschenberg last week, and he's been doing a really great job. And so I'm so happy to have him with us. He's guest hosting now, but who knows? Maybe he can be a part of the whole shebang. And wanted just to mention, too, that, you know, it's 2013, and so it'll be sharing that show with him and coming in about every 2 weeks to do this show, and maybe to be also be able to do some specials, which will be really great. I have with me today two artists who are showing at the Merrillhurst Art Gym. They just opened this past Sunday. They had two separate exhibitions, but they were kind of related. I have with me Kelly Rauer, and I have with me Samantha Wall. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Ava.
Hi, thanks.
So, Laid to Rest is the name of Samantha's show, and Wait is the name of Kelly's show. And, you know, I kind of find it interesting that there is this sort of gravity to both of the titles. And then when you get to see the exhibition, you can see that there is something about the body, the female body, in both of these works, but in really different ways. Yet, there, again, are some similarities. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to kind of describe what I saw when I went in there, and then you two are going to fill in the blanks or correct me and say, no, that's not what you saw at all. So walk in, and first thing I see is Samantha Wall's work. And these are large-scale drawings, black and white. Is it graphite? Is it ink?